Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to be back with you and the listeners today, man.
Good to have you back.
Thanks, man. Glad to be back with you folks. You know, I'm sorry I had to had an impromptu break. You know, I wasn't able to do the show, and fortunately, I got to take another break as well. You know, so this is gonna be my last show for a while now. You know, but you know, hopefully, I could be back soon, man. I want to thank you all for the support, because I love you guys and I love doing this show. You know, so you know, on this show, we're going to talk, you know, the Stranger Things Season 3. We're going to talk about, you know, Mets and Yankee baseball. And, of course, the SummerSlam pay-per-view event that just went down. So, you know, if you want to talk about any of these topics and more, feel free to give us a call, 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk and get your thoughts out there, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's dive right into the baseball, man. And man, it's been hot in New York. And we're not talking about the weather, man. The baseball team, the Mets, the Yankees, they've been hot all summer long right now. After the All-Star break, man. I mean, the Mets, I mean, I thought they were dead. You know, I thought they were dead. You know, like I've always said, there's two things that are going to kill the Mets postseason berth, and the reason why they had a horrible start for the first 3 months. And of course, number one is the bullpen. You know, it's horrible. And the bigger culprit, the even bigger culprit, if you could quantify it, which I don't even think you could quantify it by words, the biggest weakest link on the Mets team, other than the bullpen, is Mickey Callaway, the manager. Because this guy, he does a bunch of head-scratching moves. And to his credit, you know, the team has been doing a lot better. To be honest with you, I think they're doing it in spite of him. But, hey, like Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. So they're 3 games above 500. They're 63-60 right now. They're in the hunt of the wild card. And if they can, play the way they've been playing, prior to losing Sunday afternoon's game, which unfortunately, I saw that face to face to see, to see the Mets 8-game losing streak, end in front of me. I mean, you know, the Mets haven't been playing the same ever since then, you know. But you know, good thing they won the last game against the Braves, and they won tonight. So, you know, they need to keep on winning, you know.
Yeah, but the injury to McNeil too, which has kind of been, it's kind of like killed the vibe of that lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. McNeil, he's easily their best hitter on the team, you know. And you know, fortunately for them, you know, he's expected to be back. After the 10 days of the IL is off. So, you know, he can't come back any sooner. because the Mets really need that guy. He is the straw that stirs the drink, along with Alonso. And give credit to Rosario. Rosario has resurrected his career too. I mean, you know, he's living up to the hype. I mean, earlier on this year, he was horrible defensively, but he's been firing on all cylinders defensively, offensively. I mean, he's really doing his thing. So I gotta give him credit. And you know, Pete Alonso, you know, he hit his 39 home run, but a few days ago, and as a result, he ties Cody Bellinger for the most home runs by a National League rookie. And as you all know, he shattered Darryl Strawberry's 26th home run as a rookie, you know, earlier this year, before the All-Star break, as a matter of fact. And now he's entering some, you know, unprecedented territory as a Met player, period. He might if he could stay healthy, he's gonna hit 50. He might break Aaron Judge's rookie record of 52 home runs. You know, it's in his grasp if he could stay healthy. You know, he did have a little slump after the All-Star break, which, you know, we all expected after he won the home run derby. But, you know, he's starting to hit the ball, you know, consistently now, you know. He missed a grand slam earlier in this game, which would have been his 40th home run and a grand slam, which would have been an awesome way for him to do it. But as we speak, his next home run is his 40th, and he'll be tied for Mike Piazza with 40 home runs a season. And then after that, 41 home runs is the Met all-time record in a season. That's Todd Hundley and Carlos Beltran are both tied for the all-time home run, you know, in a season with 41. So basically, Pete Alonso is two home runs away from tying the Met record, season record, and three to pass. So, I mean, Pete Alonso, man, he's doing something that, I mean, Mets fans have dreamed of, man. This guy, he's the real deal, man. I mean, you never thought there would be a guy in the Mets history that would have more power, potentially have more power than Darryl Strawberry and Mike Piazza. I mean, those guys have been the standard bearers for the Mets. I mean, for decades, man, of guys who, you know, who are power hitters. I mean, obviously Wright was challenging it at some point, you know, until the injuries, you know, made him succumb his career, you know, come to an end last year. So, I mean, you know, props to the Mets. You know, they're making it close. They're in the hunt. You know, if they could get this wild card, you know, spot, you know, if they could get the top wild card spot, which they were threatening Sunday, you know, they can try to, you know, push for the division. But the problem is Mickey Callaway. He keeps making these head scratching moves, and every time his bullpen just spit the bit because of his dumb moves, like Lugo. What was it? Lugo yesterday. Or was it the day before yesterday? I can't even remember. I'm losing track because he uses Diaz in a bases loaded, nobody out situation when the Mets are losing. You know, Diaz, arguably the best closer last year. You know, when he had 57 saves with the Mariners, and, you know, he's completely lost his confidence and his stuff. You know, Mickey Callaway has been mismanaging him and the bullpen. You know, there was a game just a few days ago. He brought in Lugo for two innings, and Lugo didn't have it, and he blew the game, and he double-switched J.D. Davis, you know, out of the game, who's been one of the top five best hitters on the Mets, and easily Brody Van Wagenen's best move as a GM, you know, this year and as a GM so far. So, I mean, Mickey Callaway is going to be the main reason. If the Mets don't make it to the postseason, because it's right at the taking, it's going to, you could just point the fingers at Mickey Callaway, because this team could be something special if Mickey Callaway can make these guys go deep, you know, Jacob DeGrom, he finally gets a win. I mean, I think he's won back-to-back starts. But we've all known these past couple of years, the Mets don't score any runs for him. They play horrible defense for him, as evident as the Sunday night game when, you know, DeGrom had three errors. You know, they had two errors in a play, which made them fall 3-0 in the top of the first. And, you know, that, you know, of course the Mets tied the game, but the Mets, you know, eventually would lose that Sunday afternoon. But, yeah, that, you know, basically the Mets, you know, the Mets, they need their starters to go deep. I mean, Stroman got his first Met win, what was it, yesterday, I believe, you know. Actually, it was Thursday, I think. But any case, you know, the Mets, they've been playing a lot better. They just need Mickey Callaway to just stay out of their way and let these guys, you know, do their job, man. And, you know, who knows what could happen. But what's your thoughts about the Mets so far?
Yeah, I mean, the Mets, you know, since the All-Star break, they've been playing very well. Yeah, they had a little bump in the road the last five or six games here, but you know they've been playing well. The offense was really hitting, especially when McNeil was in the lineup. Pitching was consistent for the most part. There's still issues with the bullpen, you know, with Diaz. I don't know, you know, going forward, Mets might have to like put this guy. They might have to use someone else as a closer and have him like as middle relief or setup, because every opportunity he gets to close the game, it seems like he's blowing it on a nightly basis. I mean, you can't have a closer, you know, like that. He might be the worst closer in a Met uniform I've ever seen. You know, and we've seen a lot. We've seen Benitez, we've seen Looper. He might be worse than us.
Oh man! I mean, Benitez. I mean, that guy. He is the anti Mariano Rivera of the Mets, man. Like in a big spot. Like, oh man! And I don't get me wrong. I used to be a big supporter for Benitez. Like from like what was it? Like 99 to like 2001 or 2002, maybe. I was defending this guy, thinking, hey, you know, this guy's gonna finally turn it around. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, historically he's always been good, you know, regular seasons until you get to September and October, and especially unless he's facing the Yankees or the Braves, and this guy is usually lights out.
Yeah.
But once it gets September, October, or facing the Yankees or the Braves. Oh man, it's a totally different story, man. This guy, he throws 100 miles per hour, like 97 to 100 miles per hour, but the fastball is straight right down the middle. And the problem is he waits until he gets into a pitcher's count to throw his best stuff, which is his fastball, and he gets clobbered. Like that's the Benitez way, man. And Diaz has. Look, Benitez, he's been doing his best Benitez impression all season long, man.
Diaz is worse. I mean, at least with Benitez, he had some good, like you said, regular seasons. Yeah, but Benitez had, like, back-to-back 60-plus save seasons, I think, right? You know,
Forty. Yeah, 40, but not 60, right?
Yeah, not 60. But Diaz is like, I mean, every night, I'm not even a Mets fan. And I'm looking at highlights, him doing something stupid to blow the game. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, man. I mean, Diaz, he's unofficially not the closer anymore. It's more Lugo, really, now. But, I mean... He hasn't made it official, but you can essentially see that it's Lugo, because I mean Lugo is the best pitcher they have, you know, the best reliever they got, you know.
Why don't they use him as a closer?
Well, yeah, they've been using him as a closer. They use him as a closer today too. I mean, Lugo has been unofficially the new closer lately.
Oh.
But Diaz still isn't out of the woodwork because you never know what Mickey Callaway is thinking one day or the other. So
yeah.
But yeah, hopefully Mets can turn it around. But Mickey Callaway has to stop making these dumb moves and let the starters go deep and then you could save the bullpen and they'll pitch a lot better because he keeps overworking them and their arms keep falling off. Gesellman is on the DL, which I won't miss him because he's stunk ever since last year. Ever since Mickey Callaway has been here, you know, all these relievers have stunk up the joint because he just overworks them.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens, man, with the Mets. You know, they just got to make sure Alonso stays healthy, man.
Yeah. Right. And then big game tomorrow against the Royals because they've been struggling with the Royals here a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like we've been struggling with the Royals ever since 4 years ago. But I won't mention that because I'm still getting nightmares about that series, but I digress. Moving on to the Yankees, man. You know, the Yankees have been playing a lot better, you know, basically, you know, this whole season when you think about it. I mean, they're at least what 10 games up on Tampa. You know, they did have that horrible start on Thursday when they got, you know, beat up by the Indians. But other than that, the Yankees, they bounced back and won these games. You know, they've been in savage mode. You know, they've been,
winning these games all year long. And it's not even from their superstars. It's like from their B-plus players. Urshela, Maben, Tauchman, LeMahieu. LeMahieu, you know, this guy's been an all-star before, you know.
Well, yeah, of course, with the Lockies, of course, right.
But now he's making a name for himself throughout baseball playing with the Yankees, and this guy flat-out hit the ball. I mean, you talk about McNeil on your side, but LeMahieu, I mean, this guy could hit, you know. And him at the top of the order makes the Yankees – a deadly team, and they've been very good. Him and Urshela are the reason why the Yankees are so good in situational hitting spots this year compared to last year. And I mean, the Yankees are just playing real well, you know, best record right now in baseball. And they're very consistent on a nightly basis, but the pitching still scares me because, you know, you never know what you're going to get from guys like Paxton or Happ. You know, CeCe's coming back tomorrow from the IL. So the pitching has to be more consistent, and Yankees have to be patient with umpires because it looks like the umpires have been testing us this all the season long. Umpire ended up ejecting the manager, Gardner, and CeCe, who isn't even active. He got ejected today. So Yankees have to be patient with these umpires and try not to, like, argue too much over strikes and balls, but.
Right.
I mean, yeah, got to remain consistent with this team, you know, and they've been playing real well, especially from these other guys that have been stepping up for the injured players.
Absolutely. And what was I going to say? Did you just hear that?
What?
I think Gleyber Torres just hit another home run, and the Yankees are even playing right now. Man, that guy is
in
clutch.
Oh, yeah. Definitely having, well, you know, he's a phenom, you know, and we stole him from the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. For Chapman, which you guys got back anyway, so it was like you fleeced the Cubs, man.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, they got their World Series out of it, so.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true, so, yeah. In that case, it's a fair trade, I guess.
Yeah,
you get that title out of it, so. And then they had Ben Zobrist sign with them in that offseason, which I wouldn't describe what series with two World Series he won back-to-back.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not bitter. But in any case. But, yeah, man, Yankees are still doing their thing, man. You know, they're clicking on all cylinders, firing all cylinders, and no matter who put on the uniform, they just keep winning ball games.
Yeah, you could put on the uniform and play for the Yankees, and they wouldn't. They'd win a game.
Yeah, blindfolded, and they still win. But yeah, speaking of memorable moments, as me with me, you know, putting on the Prince Streets, with that, which would never happen. But mm-hmm. moving on to SummerSlam, what was your thoughts on the SummerSlam pay-per-view event?
You know, I had high expectations, especially since I saw the lineup for the matches, and you know, there are a lot of good matches I'm looking forward to, like the AJ match with Ricochet. I was looking forward to the match between who was it again? Trish and Charlotte, Bailey and who did Bailey fight?
Ember Moon.
So there's a lot of good matches I was looking forward to this SummerSlam, but WWE, as usual, you know, they failed me. It was disappointing because some of the matches they weren't really impressive, especially that Brock Lesnar, the way that Brock Lesnar and Saffron match went. Yeah, that was a disappointment right there.
You know what match really disappointed me? Kofi versus Orton.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's the other one. Yeah. DQ?
Double count out? Come on. In the SummerSlam, I mean, having a finish like that in a pay-per-view is horrible. But in a SummerSlam, the second pay-per-view, top pay-per-view in all of wrestling after WrestleMania, you're going to have a weird DQ that the fans are going to be chanting BS. Is that really what you want the fans to be chanting? Like, at the end of a match, I mean, we're gonna get into that. Let's take it from the bottom to the top. Drew Gulak, he defeated Oney Lorcan. He retains the Cruiserweight title. Didn't really care about that match. Buddy Murphy, he defeats Apollo Crews by disqualification. These was in the pre-match one.
Yeah.
You know, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, they defeated the Iconics, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. No surprise there. I think we picked them to win, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah. No, actually, I think I picked the Iconics.
Yeah, I'd have to watch the Sports Urban Legend TV YouTube video to remember what I wrote. So if you want to see my picks, my predictions, you know, definitely check out that episode of Sports Urban Legend TV on YouTube. Becky Lynch defeating Natalya, no surprise there. She retains the women's title, a submission match. That was a good match. I mean, it pretty much happened the way I thought it would happen in my head. And then you have, of course, Goldberg defeating Ziggler, which we all thought that was going to happen. You know, it was interesting that they had Dolph Ziggler, you know, start the match with a couple of super kicks. You know, it kind of reminds me of Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. When they fought at the SummerSlam, I think was it last year or 2 years ago? I can't even remember.
A couple years ago?
No, last year's. 2 years ago SummerSlam, and then they had the rematch at WrestleMania, last year's WrestleMania.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Goldberg, you know, a squash match as you would expect. But then the post match antics of Dolph Ziggler talking trash after he got his butt kick was comedic gold right there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, Goldberg hitting in, like, first he had two spears, and then Dolph Ziggler's still talking trash, so Goldberg picks him up, has to walk away, and then he fakes it, and then he spears him for a third time. He says, psych, like, he was just joking, like, he's gonna show him mercy. And, yeah, that was a funny part right there. Of course, you got the AJ Styles and his OC members, Carl Anderson and Gallows, defeating Ricochet. We all knew that was going to happen. You know, Styles retains the United States championship. Then you got Bayley defeating Ember Moon. We both got that one wrong. We thought Bayley would finally win. Rather, Ember Moon would finally win a woman's title, but
yep,
you know that wasn't the case. Bayley retains. I think she hit a super Bayley to Bayley off the top rope to get that victory.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens defeats Shane McMahon. No surprise there. As a result, Kevin Owens retained his job. And then, of course, what was that, SmackDown? I think it was either Raw or SmackDown. He got got suspended for, you know, attacking Elias, who was the special guest enforcer / referee. Then this is where me and you differed in our picks. You thought Trish Stratus was going to win on her farewell match in her hometown, Toronto.
Yeah.
I thought otherwise, since Charlotte Flair was the younger star, you know, they want to give her the push, even though she's been pushed to the stratosphere already. No pun intended. You know, not to mention she has more titles than Trish does. I think she's,
yeah,
what, a 9-time champion, and Trish was, what, 7? But, yeah. Charlotte won. No surprise there. But it was a good match. I thought it was a good match, you know.
It was a good match. I really thought Trish would have pulled it out, but, you know, you're right. Charlotte won. They passed the torch to her, even though she didn't need a torch passing.
Yeah. And, yeah, it just didn't sit right with me, Trish tapping out. They should just make her passed out. And then she eventually wakes up and then gets her standing ovation by her, you know, her hometown crowd. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Good match, though. Now, this match, Kofi Kingston, Orton, I thought the match was good all the way until that screwy finish. I mean, like, why does WWE do this to the fans? Like, they get you all up in the... This is like, it was like watching a Raw match, Raw or SmackDown match. It's like, you get all invested into the match, and then it ends up in a DQ or double count out. It's like, come on.
Yeah, all that
and
hype
then
and build, and you made a double count out? I mean, come on.
And then you know they did this just so they can have a legit reason to make them have a rematch on, you know, at the Clash of the Champions coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. It's a joke, man. This is a SummerSlam pay-per-view. If you want them to have a rematch, let them have a rematch again. You don't have to ruin this pay-per-view event. This was, you know what I'm saying? Like, they've been building up Kofi. Oh, Kofi got to prove he belongs. You know, he got to fight Randy Orton. You know, yeah, man, I gotta prove that, you know, I'm one of the greatest champions of all time. You wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for me. It's like, come on, man, he's a champion. Like, what the hell does he have to prove? Like, come on. They're supposed to be on the same level, but you could clearly see WWE puts Kofi in one level and they put Seth Rollins on a whole other level. Like, they're both champions, but it's kind of like Cena and CM Punk, you know? Like, even though Kofi is the WWE champion, you know, he's second banana in the eyes of Vince McMahon to Seth Rollins. And that's a fact, man.
And I thought Randy Orton would win this match, but luckily,
please,
Kofi still has the title, but we might still see Randy win it at the next pay-per-view event, maybe.
Is this the best way that they thought, okay, this is the way we'll save Kofi from losing a match so that when he loses Clash of the Champion, at least he defended it once on a screwy finish?
Looks like it.
Oh, and speaking of surprising things, Edge, he surprised everybody by I think Spearing Elias, if my memory serves me right.
Oh, yeah.
But that was on SummerSlam, right? When he did that.
Raw. Was it Raw?
Oh, maybe it was Raw. But yeah, well, that was a surprising moment because, you know, ever since Edge retired, I think he had a bunch of back surgeries. You know, he couldn't, you know, he had to forcibly retire. So, this was the first time he did a finishing move, you know, or any wrestling move after he retired. So it was shocking.
Maybe he's back now.
Well, apparently he said he could go one more match, but, I mean, I don't know if they're going to do that. I say save it for WrestleMania, you know, because my throat. yeah, you don't want to, save his epic return, let him have his official one last match, you know, save that for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's the moment of the night for me, man. Bray Wyatt, man, debuting as the Fiend, you know,
Finn Balor.
Was the
best. Yep.
That was crazy, man. Like, you see Finn Balor, he's dressed in white, like, I guess symbolizing he's an angel or something. You know, he's the Demon King or whatever. I guess to contrast the Fiend's look, you know, dark look. And, Bray Wyatt, man, he shocked the crowd, man, especially with that lantern of, you know, showing his, like a mannequin that resembles his old book. You know, that was very creepy, you know, and him snapping, you know, Finn Balor's neck and all that stuff. It was crazy. It was crazy about the, the whole situation. So, yeah, I definitely say it was the highlight of the show. Seeing Bray Wyatt, dominating for once.
Yeah, that was the best part for me, you know, seeing his entrance, seeing him squash. I mean, I wish it could have been a more competitive match, but I get what WWE is doing, trying to make this new version of Bray Wyatt more dominant, you know, and make him squash Finn Balor. And we're probably going to see another matchup between them probably in the next pay-per-view here. But I think this gimmick is working out so far. You know, you could see maybe a title run here for Bray Wyatt soon.
Yeah, hopefully so. It looks like Bray Wyatt, they haven't revealed it yet, but it looks like Bray Wyatt and Aleister Black has been feuding with each other on social media. So that might be an interesting matchup, because I think Aleister Black has been undefeated so far. And, of course, you know, Bray Wyatt, since he returned. So that would definitely be a marquee matchup. I don't know if you want them to fight each other now. Maybe you could say that for WrestleMania or something like that, or SummerSlam, Survivor Series at least. You know, because these guys are on a roll, even though Bray Wyatt just won one match. But, you know, Bray Wyatt got that momentum with all those promos and, you know, props to Bray Wyatt sustaining his career.
Yeah, but, you know, he's definitely going to get a shot at that title, the Universal title, very soon. Seth Rollins is wearing. So I see a big match between the two. Possibly WrestleMania, you know? Who knows?
Yeah. I hope he gets it before WrestleMania, but yeah, that would be awesome. And then you got, speaking of Seth Rollins, you know, he defeated Brock Lesnar. I think he is probably the first person to defeat Brock Lesnar, like, twice in the same year, much less in the top two pay-per-view events, WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
I mean, maybe Cena has done it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cena must have defeated him at least twice. But I don't know, in the same calendar year.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume maybe during his word life or when Brock Lesnar might have just came back.
Yeah.
You know, before Brock Lesnar did the Suplex City stuff.
Yeah.
That would be around the time probably Cena might have beat Brock. For sure, but yeah, I don't know if he beat him twice per year in the same year, but yeah, we'll leave that for the statisticians to come up with that.
Figure it out.
But yeah, I mean, I thought the Brock Seth Rollins match was a little bit better than I thought it would be. You know, I thought it would be better. I mean, We've seen them fight each other 100 times, you know. But, I mean, you know, I thought it was a decent match. I mean, but then again, a championship match, you know, you won't want something a lot more better. But I thought it was decent, you know, the match was. It was a little bit better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was it was okay. It could have been a lot better, you know, than what it was, but it was okay. It still wasn't one of the best matches of the night for me. And I'm getting tired of this Lesnar and Rollins, you know.
I know. I'm
matches already. I mean, just move on to another opponent.
Yeah, we need to see Brock versus Bobby Lashley for a change. Come on, let it happen. I mean, I know Bobby Lashley's hurt, but gee, let them finally fight each other.
Yeah, we've been asking that for years now.
Yep. And quickly, who do you think is gonna win the King of the Ring?
So the bracket came out and. It, you know, right now, my pick would be Samoa Joe. I think WWE has been trying to give him a push here, you know, for these last several months. He'd be my pick right now to win it all.
Yeah, I hope you're right, man, because Samoa Joe is definitely, you know, most deserving. You know, that guy, him and Cesaro, who, I mean, they're going to fight each other in the first round.
Yeah.
Of this King of the Ring, you know, both of those guys should be champions by now. You know, Rusev would be another person too, but Rusev apparently is taking time off right now, I guess, as he contemplates his future. And Dolph Ziggler apparently has rumored to, you know, act out of his contract. But we'll see what happens with that. But I hope one of those two guys will win, you know. But knowing WWE, they're gonna make whatchamacallit, Baron Corbin somehow win it. But yeah, I guess I could give you the first round so far. Cesaro versus Samoa Joe on Raw. Ricochet versus Drew McIntyre on Raw, Cedric Alexander versus Sami Zayn on Raw, Miz versus Baron Corbin on Raw, Kevin Owens versus Elias, who's currently the 24/7 champion right now, is going to fight each other on SmackDown. Ali versus Buddy Murphy is going to be on SmackDown. And by the way, Daniel Bryan and Rowan are going to reveal to Roman Reigns who's the culprit to trying to attack Roman Reigns these past couple of weeks, because as you all know, Buddy Murphy, you know, framed Rowan. So the answer should be revealed on SmackDown. Then you have Chad Gable versus his former tag team partner, Shelton Benjamin on SmackDown. And then lastly, on the first round is going to be, Apollo Crews versus Andrade on SmackDown. So, like I said, I hope Cesaro or Samoa Joe wins it. But knowing WWE and their ridiculous booking, Baron Corbin's most likely going to win. Or maybe even Drew McIntyre. But
yeah,
I think Baron Corbin's going to end up winning because of some shenanigans, WWE. But, switching gears lastly, here's some spoilers. If you haven't seen Stranger Things, tell me quickly what you think about it.
Oh, well, this season was great. I mean, Stranger Things just keeps getting better and better each season. And I don't know how they're going to keep doing, you know, these seasons since these kids are getting bigger. You know, I mean, they're no longer little kids anymore. They, you know, they're almost college age, you know, especially by next year. But it just keeps, you know, they're getting bigger, you know, they're high school going on to college soon, but the show overall, it's really good. I mean, this season was really good. You had Eleven and Mike develop their relationship. you know, the Chief getting upset over
Hopper.
That and trying to break them up, Chief Hopper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have the strange power fluctuation still occurring with Will and the other world, or the Upside Down.
Upside Down, yep.
You know, the creature inhabiting Max. What's the little girl? Maxine? I think was her name.
Max's brother. Billy.
Billy, right. You had the creature inhabiting his body and other people's bodies in the town to try to take over. You know, so you had a lot of that. But, you know, overall, this season was great. You know, it's just getting better and better. And, you know, it's very enjoyable, watchable show that, you know, it's probably the only show right now that I'm watching on Netflix at the moment. Thought it was a great season.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. Like, this season, you know, they've been getting better and better. I'm definitely intrigued, you know, about season 4. You know, of course, you know, spoilers, you know, Hopper appears to look like he died. You know, he got destroyed when Joyce, you know, destroyed, you know, that machine that was, I guess, opening the portal to the Upside Down world. And it looks like Hopper might have went into the portal before it exploded and might be the prisoner that the Russians are holding, you know, captive. You know, because apparently there's a number where fans can call, and basically you hear the voice of the nerdy guy. I forgot his name. The nerdy guy who could speak Russian, the conspiracy theorist guy. Apparently he leaves for Joyce and say that he has something to tell her, you know, that she won't believe, something like that. So it looks like they're opening up that possibility that Hopper is the American that's trapped inside, you know, inside Russia against his will. But, I'm definitely looking forward to that next year. I'm also looking forward to Cobra Kai next year. So those are the two, like, new shows that I'm really excited about. But, you know, I got to go. That's Mac.